such a good conversation going on here. I got to come over and be part of it. How we doing?
So, yeah.
I'm Tupos. What's your name, man?
Demetrius.
Demetrius?
Yep.
And what's your name, man?
Deja.
Nice to meet you. Hello, little one. How are you folks today?
Feeling pretty good.
My wife answering your questions for you?
Yeah, we were just... I think I didn't ask no questions yet, but I was just listening. You were listening to her.
Oh, okay, yeah.
What you guys have been doing going around
yeah.
the country, I believe.
Yeah, we come into the world to lift up Christ, and you know, Christ is very different than the culture, and he's very different than the church systems. I'm sure my wife was telling you that. If you open your Bible and test the Word of God to what's going on in the culture, it's night and day, black and white. And it's no different than it was in Jesus' day. There was the same perversion, same sin, same worldliness, same falseness going on. But I will say this, Apostle Paul had 3 or 4 heresies to battle back then when Christianity just started. Guess how many we have today? Thousands of them. And I just rebuked the Jehovah's Witnesses down there in love. What's that, sir?
Oh, yeah, then there's the Latter-day Saints and everyone.
It's, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So we just encourage people, your only hope for the future is to get in the Word of God, and if you're not already born again, to throw yourself at the mercy of God, cry out to God for truth, ask Him to give you a new heart and a new mind, and then when you follow, I was just preaching about that, when you follow the Holy Spirit, you test everything she said, I said, everything you say, everything your wife says, everything the government says, everything the churches say, you test it to the Word of God. And guess what? That's your roadmap to eternal life, because Jesus said, I am the way and the life. Everybody likes that part. But did you notice He also said, I'm the truth? And not many people really hold to the truth. Mm-hmm. Have you found that to be true?
Yeah, that'd be true. I think Jesus' name itself brings out stuff in people.
Jesus' name what?
Jesus' name by itself brings out stuff in people.
Yeah.
Like saying it.
Kind of, yeah, you're talking about like Yeshua?
No, not His name.
Oh,
just like what He did and who He is. Brings
out, oh, yeah.
Brings out like, I'd say brings out like the evil.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it makes you, shows what you have inside you, like pride and all that.
It's true. And the church systems are teaching a false Jesus. And Paul warned us about that in 2 Corinthians 11. There'll be a false Jesus, a false spirit, and a false gospel. And the false gospel today is just believe in Jesus, raise your hand, go to church, say a prayer, get water baptized. You're going to heaven no matter what. Now, the Bible don't teach that anywhere. Are you folks married?
Yeah.
Is this a covenant?
Yeah.
An agreement of two parties?
Mm-hmm.
Can it be ruined?
Unless, I guess, we...
Can you ruin it?
Yeah.
What if you run off with another woman? Would that ruin it? What if she runs off with another dude? Would that ruin it? So every day, are you both trying to be a good husband, a good wife?
Mm-hmm.
That's what God calls us to do in His blood covenant. And it's a covenant. And Jesus did everything perfectly. But then guess what? You have a part. She has a part. I have a part. And our part is to follow Him in obedience and cling to the Word, and the Spirit guides us. And if you're ready, this is the hard part. If you're not willing to lose everything, your family, let's say, I don't know about your background, your family's Baptist, let's say, and you say, man, the Baptist faith is full of a bunch of sin and pagan holidays, Christmas and Easter are pagan holidays, God didn't ordain these. No, family, I'm not doing that no more. And they go, we're disowning you. You got to be willing to turn your back on your family for Christ. I know men that their wife has, they'd become holy. And the wife said to him, I didn't marry this new guy. I married that old guy that loved weightlifting and partying. They left him. And Jesus said, unless you're willing to lose all that for me, you're not worthy. Because think about it. He's God. He came. He shed His blood and died for you. What should we not give up for Him? Can you think of anything? Children? Your children might grow up, become atheists. I'm not discouraging you. I'm just giving you the, Jesus said, count the cost. You have 5 children. They all could grow up, become atheists, worldly people, and go, Dad, you're nuts with that Jesus stuff. You got to be willing to cling to Christ, because they aren't really yours anyway, are they? You just have for a while. You raise them up the best you can. So think about that. Well behaved, by the way. We see a lot of out of control kids out here. Well behaved. I always like to praise well behaved children. So that's my plea to you, is make sure you're not walking through this world following the culture and any church system. And our website is designed, don'tperish.com, for free. We don't take anybody's money to help you. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Sure. To help you go right through. He got a card too, right?
Yeah.
It's on the card. And the card gives you a bunch of reasons why we stand against the church systems. And Jesus said few are going to find eternal life. And I love to teach people this. That word in the Greek, look at the Greek and the Hebrew words. Look up the root words. It means puny number. A puny number of people are going to find eternal life. Look around you.
1 in 10,000 or 1 in 1,000, 2 in 10,000 or something like that.
Well, the Bible doesn't give that give us a number like that, but here you go. Ready? 8 came off the ark out of millions. 3 came out of Sodom and Gomorrah out of tens of thousands. And only 2 men got to go into the Holy Land out of 600,000 men out of the desert. Joshua and Caleb. Only 2 men. You know why? Because all the other Israelites were grumbling, complaining, mocking God. And God said, they're not going in. That generation's not going in. So obedience is very important. And I want to be clear about something. We don't teach works for salvation. You could never work your way to heaven. Jesus had to make the perfect way. Right? But works are part of your salvation.
Yeah, they're the fruit.
If you tell me you love your wife, that's your commitment to her. If I see you with another woman, that's the fruit that you're a liar. You don't really love your wife. If I see you a faithful man, that's the fruit that you're backing up your covenant, faith and works. So the Bible's very clear, faith and works. You hear a lot of people teach faith alone, grace alone. You can't find one Bible verse that says that anywhere. There's no faith alone, there's no grace alone. Faith and grace always comes with holiness and obedience, which causes you to lose your entire life. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Can you repeat that one more time, you said?
I said there's no faith alone, grace alone in the Bible. Grace through faith always comes with works of holiness and obedience that backs up your saving faith. Like I said, if you love your wife, you're faithful. If she loves you, she's faithful. The two go together. If you love God, you obey Him. When you don't obey Him, and you fall short, okay, we're all going to do that sometimes. Guess what you do? You don't say like the American church, well, we're all a bunch of sinners and we're just going to sin a lot and you continue on in your sin. No, you repent of your sin and you say, God, help me to leave that and never do it again. And you leave your sin. So the big difference between true, the word in the Greek is ekklesia, called out ones. The word church means ekklesia. The big difference between called out people is they don't live in sin. And my wife and I can choose sin, and we can get in our flesh, we could get angry, but guess what? We don't live in it. The church systems live in sin. They keep false ways. They keep worldliness. They keep pagan holidays. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think there's a, I do think there's a, kind of like a, I don't know how to say it, where I don't think you can, I don't think you want to make peace with sin, you'll make peace with God. But I don't know, because some people try to say they don't sin, which maybe there's people that don't sin. But I also think through sin, God's grace is revealed to us, I suppose. So.
Well, there is a thing called sinless perfection that some people teach, which is a lie. You're not going to be perfect this side of the heaven. You're going to fall in your flesh and you're going to sin. But no. Paul says in Romans 6, because the grace of God has come, shall we continue sinning? What do you think Paul said? No. So, you know, there. Martin Luther started that mindset. You remember Martin Luther was out of the Reformation? 500 years ago? You know what he said? His gospel was so corrupt. Martin Luther said, sin boldly. And if you sin 1,000 times a day, nothing will separate you from Jesus' love. That's a lie. Jesus says, or Hebrews says in Hebrews 10:26, if we willfully sin, there's no sacrifice left for sin. There's no sacrifice. And I always go back to the marriage. If your wife was unfaithful to you, or you were unfaithful to your wife, and you repented, what's the very first thing your partner's going to ask you to do? Not do it again? How about get rid of that guy, get rid of that woman, never do it again? What if you said, I'm going to go back to her 3 or 4 times a year? I promise you, your marriage covenant would not be the same. So we got to turn from sin, and the grace of God only comes when we sin out of ignorance, or when we sin and when we cry out for repentance. If you sin and you just go, well, we're just sinners and I just expect to be forgiven because of what Jesus did, that's willful sin. You got to be willing to turn from your sin. You got to be willing to stop your sin. Jesus said, go sin no more. And did you know about 30 times in the New Testament it tells us to be perfect? All the churches say nobody's perfect. The Bible tells us to be perfect over 30 times in the New Testament. But here's the key, ready? You know what that word perfect means? It doesn't mean this side of heaven you'll never, ever, ever sin again like Jesus. That's not what it means. That word perfect in the Greek means mature and complete. So I have a question. If you're a seasoned, mature, complete Christian, do you live in sin? Would you keep going and live? Would you keep using the F word? Would you keep getting drunk? Would you keep looking at women with lust all the time? No, you wouldn't live in that. You would fight against it. And if something is your proclivity, you might say, oh, there's a nasty billboard. Man, when I look at that, I have bad thoughts. I'm going around the block. I'm not going by that billboard. You don't go, yeah, I'm a big sinner. I'm going to look at it for a while because Jesus' blood cleanses me. That's trampling the blood of Jesus. That's like laying with 20 women because you know your wife is really forgiving. That's abusing her forgiveness.
What do you think about when people say, like, is there something where people be like, people say they're born again and they're saved, and they say, like, if you believe in Jesus, that you should believe that you're born again and you are saved.
Okay. You can believe you're born again, but that word saved is a future hope of, because you have to endure in it. Just like your marriage. You can't tell me your marriage is a complete success for the rest of your life yet. What do you have to do? Live that out. Then when you're 75 years old and you've been married 50 years, you can go, it's been a success for 50 years. You got to live that out. You can't say, my marriage is a guaranteed success for the next 50 years.
I believe that.
It's called once saved, always saved, where you say a prayer and you go into heaven no matter what. That's an absolute doctrine of demons. I have articles on that in my teaching blog. I teach everything I'm telling you. I teach about it in my teaching blog.
Yeah.
Because I refute what the modern pastors are telling you.
Yeah, I was just thinking, because I don't know, whenever I hear that people saying they're born again, they're saved, it kind of feels like when I think about it, I had to let down my guard. And it seems like I'd want to be shrewd and not to think that. Because then I feel like many Christians nowadays would be like, well, then you don't necessarily believe in Jesus. And part of me, I guess, makes me put in a position where it's kind of like, makes me feel like you got to be like, I think about it in a way of where it's like, there's a table they talk about in Revelation, I think it's Revelation, and someone comes and sit down at the table, and then the person, I think was it Moses, is like, what are you doing sitting at the table? Like, you don't belong at the table here.
That's the invitation to the wedding. Yeah. And the guy shows up and he's not dressed.
Mm-hmm.
What is that a signification of, do you think?
Guess not having the wedding garments for the wedding.
Yeah, he didn't come in a wedding garment, and they just kindly asked him to leave. No. It says they tied him up and threw him into outer darkness. That's hell. Here's what I believe that's a signification of. I invite you via the gospel. God invites you to come to the kingdom of God. You repent and you cleanse your life of sin to live after Christ. That's what that's talking about. You got invited to a royal wedding. You're just going to show up in your manured farm clothes? No, you'll repent and show up striving for the kingdom. And that's what that's a symbol of, is that you just waltz in thinking, I'm just going to trample the grace of this king that invited me. I'm going to do my own thing. The king's going to go, you're at my wedding party. Step up to my standard. And you know who the king's standard is? Jesus. And Jesus said, don't look with lust, don't hate, don't steal, don't lie.
Yeah. We were talking about something earlier. We were talking about Elijah and John in the desert.
Uh-huh.
How they walk through the desert and they wanted like the normal food maybe like everyone else eats.
Yep, yep.
And I just thought it was interesting because Jesus, or Moses brought everyone out into the desert. And then after they left the desert, they went to the Holy Land, and they all kind of just, worst, I don't think they had shrewdness in the desert either, but in the Holy Land, they didn't have shrewdness either. They kind of were eating, and they were eating all, just eating the fruits of the land.
Yep.
And I thought it was interesting that Elijah and John both went back out to the desert.
Yep.
And it just reminds me of
to deny themselves. Yeah, because the Bible talks about eating the king's dainties. And that's one of the problems of a place like this. You might say, well, what's sinful here? You know, gyros, popcorn, hot dogs, cotton candy, all this stuff. What this is Americans have fed themselves on a steady diet of the king's dainties. And they're always seeking flesh and entertainment and fun, what makes me feel good, music, beer. But the Bible says to deny ourselves and follow Christ. I was teaching today about doulos. A servant means doulos, and a servant always does the desires of his master, not his own desires. So let's say you wanted to be a famous football player. It's been my goal my whole life. I want to be an NFL football player, lots of money and glory. You become a born-again Christian. Guess what? You don't bring your faith into that carnal, NFL, violent, rowdy system that promotes the LGBT, by the way. You don't bring it into that. You forsake that and you become a servant of Jesus and you go do something different. See how you gave up your life to serve him? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you're on the right path when you're thinking about those things. My website will help you. Can I ask you guys, do you belong to a church system?
No, we just, well, No, we don't go to a church around here.
That's
good. Because I think it's interesting to go there and see what people believe. I don't know. I don't try to be proud or nothing like that. But
I encourage you to stay away from those church systems because bad company corrupts. The problem with that is you'll go, and I'm not judging you because I don't know you, ma'am, but let's just say your wife goes and she meets a bunch of ladies that she really likes, and then your children meet a bunch of kids in the youth group. Before you know it, I've had men, their wives say to them, honey, I love that place. The ladies are nice. The kids are great. And the dad goes, but they teach a bunch of false way. All right, we're going to go because they like it. Well, that becomes like fellowship idolatry. Don't let your family get connected to that unless you meet holy, godly saints that have come out of the culture and they're preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, repentance to it, which means come out of the world, come out of the church systems, be born again by the Spirit of God. The fruit you're born again is not you just say so. The fruit is you're walking in holiness and obedience, and you have a testimony of I've given up this and this and this and this and this for the glory of God. And every day you're enduring in it. That's the gospel. That's what's on our card. That's what you're going to be judged by. And in Revelation, it says we're going to overcome in Revelation 12, 11. You know, the world's headed to tribulation. We're headed into the tribulation. The Antichrist could be alive right now on earth. We're headed into it. In Revelation 12, 11, it says the saints are going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, so cling to the gospel, by the word of their testimony. What's our testimony? What have we lost for Christ? What are we living for Christ? How are we living for Christ? That's our testimony. And then it says, they love not their life unto death. Don't love this life. Don't love the things of this world, the culture. Don't love this. Love the kingdom of God, Christ, and his people, because that's the next life to come. This life is all paid for. Love talking. Nice meeting you. We love you. We love you. Let us know if we can ever help you. You got my email on there. Do you live around here?
Yeah, we just live in Stone Lake, 20 minutes.
Okay, yeah, Stone Lake. We travel all over the country and preach all over, and we don't take people's money, as I said. We just want people to open the Bible, come out, and get ready for the kingdom of God that's coming.
Yeah.
All right, we love you. Bye-bye.